You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Bao Fresh Kombucha, New York City's locally brewed, organic, and best-tasting kombucha. Bao is committed to providing New Yorkers with an alternative to the sugary sodas and teas that add calories to our diet without any nutritional benefits. Ask for Bao at your neighborhood cafes, groceries, and restaurants, or visit any gourmet garage location throughout the city to pick up a bottle. Learn more at drinkbao.com or join them on Facebook at drinkbao. Welcome to Why We Cook on heritageradionetwork.com. I'm Erica Wides, your host. I am an instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education in Manhattan, and you are listening, hopefully, to the show live tonight on heritageradionetwork.com on this very rainy night, kind of chilly for the end of May, in the handmade studio built behind Roberta's Pizzeria in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Also home of my beehive. My bees live here now, and I'll talk about those a little bit later. I'll give you the weekly bee update at the end of the show. So a couple of days ago, I was contacted. This happens occasionally through my job. I was contacted by a writer, food writer, or travel writer, actually. She works for the online version of a major travel magazine. She's doing a story on street foods and fast food around the world. Not fast food, you know, like McDonald's, but like real food, fast food, and street food around the world. And she wanted to get the perspective of a chef, of someone who's traveled a lot, you know, a so-called authority. I guess I am. I don't know. I've traveled a lot, so I guess I have some kind of expertise in that sort of thing. So she's doing this article, and she sent me a bunch of questions. And, you know, we talked about, she wants to talk about why do cultures have street food? Why do they have portable stuff that you can buy from a vendor and take with you, or fast food? You know, why do they have it? Where does it all come from? How did it start? That whole kind of thing. And so one of the questions she asked me was what did I think was maybe the first fast food? What was the first fast food invented by humans? And my first thought was matzah. You know, my ancestors were in a really big hurry to get out of Egypt when it was time. And so they sped up the process of making their bread and making tracks for the promised land, you know, carrying the matzah out of Egypt with them on their backs, I suppose in baskets. Although that line about carrying the bread out on their backs, if that's a real line, it's stuck in my head. Somehow when I was a little kid, I must have misheard the story or misinterpreted it, because I had this idea that they made the bread dough, you know, they got to get out, it's time to go, leaving Egypt. They made it, they rolled it out, and then they actually baked it on their backs. Somehow in my 6-7-year-old brain, I had this picture of them walking through the hot sun of the desert and using their backs like pizza stones. Not exactly accurate, I'm sure, but in a way much more cinematic and evocative, you know, of what probably actually happened. I like the image of my forebears trudging out of Egypt through the sand with their backs covered in thin rolled out dough. It probably kept the sun off of them. And then like the little kids running after them and picking up the matzah as it fell off their backs into the sand. You know, it's when you're a little kid, these things come to you. Anyway, she asked me what I thought the first fast food was. And I said, maybe it was matzah. But I'm sure there were, you know, I'm sure there were vendors in ancient Egypt before that. Probably, you know, on the savanna of Africa, people were walking around bartering or something. But so that's what I said was the first fast food, sort of as a joke. But then she asked me what I thought was the most universal fast food or street food, what shows up in every culture. And my first thought there was that it was probably in that genre of the satay, kebab, yakitori family. You know, like the little bits of meat on a stick school of convenience foods. You take some little bit of meat, you stick it on a skewer, you grill it, you hand it to somebody. It's perfectly convenient and portable. So I think that's probably one of the most universal fast foods or street foods. When I was in Korea this past winter, I was coming back from Vietnam. I stopped in Korea to visit a friend of mine. And one of the first things we ate, we were on the street and I said, oh my God, I have to eat that. And she bought me one. It was this skewered whole dry barbecued squid. So it was a barbecued squid that had been salted, dehydrated, and then I guess rehydrated, barbecued, and put on a stick. So it was like a chewy squid sickle, squid pop, but it was hot. And it was really good. And it was being sold by this little old lady. She, right there on a cart, right in the middle of a really, really modern shopping street, she was selling these ancient looking things. I mean, she looked like she'd been there selling those skewers of squid since my people were walking across the desert with bread dough on their backs. So I love that. That's one of the things I love about Korea, is that you'll be in this incredibly modern, slick place, and then there's some little old lady selling some ancient food form right there on the street. So I think that the satay, that skewer, you know, meat on a stick, I think is probably one of the oldest forms. And every culture has it, if you think about it. It's really universal. You have kebabs in the Middle East. You have satays all over Asia. You have yakitori in Japan. You have, what else do we have? A million of them. My sister saw that I had posted what I was going to do this show on, and she said, are you going to talk about corn dogs? Which is sort of a joke with us, because I got really sick after eating a corn dog when I was a little kid once, and I can't even say the words without feeling nauseous, so I'm a little queasy right now for mentioning that. But every culture has it. It has its little skewered bits of meat, just like every culture has a food that's dough wrapped around little bits of leftovers, you know, like ravioli, dumplings, empanadas, all that. You have little chopped up little leftover bits of things. You wrap some dough around it. You fry it. You boil it. You steam it. Everybody has that. Everybody has some sort of meat on a stick. So you get your little scrappy bits of meat and some strong seasoning or marinade to tenderize it, because you're not using your, you know, most tender prime pieces of meat for this. You're using all the little bits, the nasty bits. And so you season it or you marinate it really well to get it really tender. You fire up some charcoal in a little burner. You put it on a stick and you got yourself a snack. And you sell it. I mean, what would be better than to sell to people who are in a rush and too busy and can't sit down or use a fork or chopsticks or a knife? You just hand it to them right on the stick. And so I think that that's like the perfect street food. I mean, it makes perfect sense. It keeps your hands clean and it frees up your hands for other activities like commerce, like if you're in a marketplace, or steering a vehicle or a horse or shepherding animals or wrangling kids. It's true convenience food. And in Southeast Asia, when they do it and they use bamboo as the skewer, at least it's even being skewered on a highly renewable resource, because bamboo grows really fast. And it's okay if you chop it down, because it grows right back. It's not like old growth hardwood. Once it's gone, it's gone. Bamboo is a grass and it comes right back. So you use bamboo as your skewer. And then if you're in Vietnam, you finish eating your satay, you just throw the skewer on the floor like everything else. Everybody in Vietnam just chucks all their food debris on the ground. And then someone comes up with a broom a few minutes later and sweeps it up. And then everyone chucks their stuff again. It keeps somebody occupied. It keeps someone employed, basically, sweeping. It's pretty funny. It's like the opposite of the way we would do things here. But it works there. So bamboo is like this perfect vehicle for skewering these things. It also doesn't burn if it's fresh green bamboo, so it's good for grilling. One time, a long time ago, I went to Borneo in Indonesia, and it was actually on the Malaysia side of Borneo, to be technical. But I was on this river trek. We took these dugout canoes down this river to go visit these people who used to be headhunters, but now they're just there for tourists. But they live in longhouses. It was very cool. But the guides set up lunch, you know, it was this like all couple day thing. And they set up to make us lunch on the river trek. And they basically built an entire disposable kitchen out of bamboo and banana leaves. It was fascinating. They cut the bamboo into cups and spoons and made us coffee and served it to us in that. They took bamboo and they wove it into a grill, and they grilled a pig face on that. Basically, that's what it was, a boned out pig head. They took big long sections of bamboo and filled them with rice and water and then jammed banana leaves in the end to plug it up and then put those in the fire. So they were like little, like rice cookers, like little mini rice cookers. And then when we finished eating, they just took all that stuff and tossed it right back into the jungle, where I'm sure within a few days it had just completely biodegraded and gone right back into the big, great circle of life. So that was pretty amazing. You know, no plastic, no foil, no paper to litter the jungle, just right back into the source. I mean, that is what I call green. We're going to take a very short break here. And when we come back, we'll talk some more about little bits of meat on a stick. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Bao Fresh Kombucha, New York City's locally brewed, organic, and best-tasting kombucha, which is now available in Gourmet Garage all over the city. And it's made by my friend and colleague, Mike Schwartz, from the Institute of Culinary Education. So go out and try it. It's great. We all drink it at work all the time. So welcome back to Why We Cook. Tonight I'm talking about fast food and street food, but particularly I was interviewed for an article about what I thought was the best or most universal street food in the world. And I said that I thought it was the skewered bits of meat on a stick that are pretty unanimously eaten all over the place. And so I've been talking about satays and about how in Southeast Asia, they're skewered on bamboo. And that's great because bamboo is very green and it biodegrades and it's very renewable. So, you know, that's great. I love that. And I think that that's a pretty ubiquitous thing. But what makes me crazy, though, is when I see those wooden skewers being used. Instead of the bamboo, people buy those packets of the wooden skewers. It's like those disposable wooden chopsticks that make me insane. You should just carry your own personal chopsticks with you. I know people won't do this, but those disposable ones make me crazy. But those wooden skewers used for at parties here in the U.S. So you go to a party and somebody serves a satay or something skewered, and it's like 2 inches of meat on a like 10-inch long skewer. It's like you're sword fighting with meat. I mean, do we need those extra 8 inches of wood? Do we need to chop down all those trees for that? I don't think so. So when I cater parties and I'm serving a satay or something skewered, I use the little bamboo picks that have a little knot on top. They're very cute. They're very cheap. You put your little skewered protein bit right on that little shorty pick and you have a lot less waste. And also, it's a lot safer because you have a lot less potential for a wayward elbow of a guest to knock down a tray full of 10-inch skewers that a waiter's carrying. You may have never experienced this, but if you've worked in catering as a chef or as a waiter, you give the waiter this tray. It's got, you know, 10 or 20 satays on it that are each skewered on a 10-inch skewer, and a guest bumps into you. It can get pretty ugly. People can go blind. Someone could lose an eye. And then after the satay eater is done eating the satay, what are they supposed to do with the skewer? What are they supposed to do with it? Do they just stand there with it? Well, back when I was working as a freelancer to many, many different New York caterers back in my pre-teaching years, I learned a great trick. Maybe you know this trick. So if you're setting up a tray full of skewered bits of meat, you take a lemon, you cut a lemon in half, or some other firm vegetable, you cut it in half and you stick it on the tray, and then you take a used skewer and you stick it in that lemon so people know, it's like a little visual cue, oh, this is where it goes. And then the guests know that when they're done eating that food, they can stick the skewer in that lemon or whatever you're using, and they don't have to stand around with it in their hand. Also, then you don't throw a loose pile of big pile of loose skewers into the garbage and rip open your garbage bag, which would then leak. See, it's like a little catering class tonight. So one of the caterers I actually used to work for even went further with that. We would pull all the used skewers out of the lemon and we would drop them into an empty bottle, like a Pellegrino bottle or a wine bottle, and then seal it up so that there was no chance of them ripping the garbage. I thought that was very clever and also very thoughtful to the people who are then taking out the garbage because they won't get stabbed. So I always try to teach my students all of these little tricks too. This is not the kind of stuff you can learn by watching the Food Network, by the way. You have to listen to shows like this to learn the inner workings of the skewer and satay world. A couple weeks ago, I actually helped a friend of mine cater a party, and he was serving a little satay, and they didn't know the lemon trick. They weren't doing the lemon trick at his party, so I did it. I took a lemon, I cut it up, I put it on the tray, and the staff practically fell over from the force of slapping themselves in the forehead. They were so blown away by it. I thought, why don't you people know this? But, you know, it was in Baltimore. Maybe they don't know everything like we do here in New York. I don't know. Anyway, let's get back to talking about satays. So we have this sort of universal phenomena of skewered meat, but I think the satay is really the most iconic of them all. Maybe the kebab in the Middle East too. But satays were born in Indonesia. They came from Indonesia and they're found all over Southeast Asia and beyond that. And they're just little strips of meat, like we've been saying, woven onto a skewer, usually marinated, almost always marinated, and then grilled. Traditionally, actually, the skewers for satay were made from the middle ribs of coconut palm leaves. Pretty cool, right? I didn't know that. Thanks, Wikipedia. But bamboo is, of course, more often used now. It's hard to get the coconut palm leaf if you live here in Bushwick. But bamboo we have plenty of here. Now, you've all probably eaten satays that are made from pork or chicken. They're very common. But there's a lot of satay eating going on in Indonesia from a lot of wacky things. Of course, goat and mutton, very popular. Lamb, squid, satays of rabbit, satays of eel, buffalo, turtle, snake, liver and other organs, and horse. Apparently, there's a satay for every island in Indonesia, and there's something like 10,000 islands in Indonesia. So everybody's got their favorite, and each one has its own marinade, and each one has its sauce. They take their satays very seriously there. Basically, if you can cut it up, marinate it, and put it on a skewer, it's a satay, and somebody in Indonesia probably eats it. And if they don't, somebody in Malaysia or Thailand probably eats it. So if you go to Wikipedia and you put in satay, there's like hundreds of entries of, maybe 20, and each from a different island. Like I said, different marinade, different sauce. And they think that satays were invented on Java by Javanese street vendors. And the satay became popular after an influx of Arab immigrants came to Indonesia in the early 19th century and brought their kebab culture with them. And since Arabs are Muslims and Indonesians are Muslims, they don't eat pork or shellfish. So the most of the satay eaten by the Muslim populations there are made from mutton or lamb or goat and beef. But all those other proteins show up too. But I'm wondering if some of those are halal. I mean, I know that certain meats like rabbit is not kosher. I don't think rabbit's kosher. I don't know if it's halal. Anyway, I'll find out. But then the satay kind of made its way up into Southeast Asia, into Thailand and Vietnam and into Malaysia and all those places. And those guys are big pork lovers. The Vietnamese, the Thais, the Cambodians, they love pork. And so pork satay, shellfish, much more popular, along with the chicken, of course. I had some great satay of pork in Vietnam that this lady, little lady selling it on the street in the afternoon. That's who it always is. But anyway, you always want to marinate the meat because, like I said earlier in the show, satays are usually made from scrappier bits, tougher bits, you know, not your prime cuts of meat. So you want to marinate. Usually there's coconut milk in the marinade. The coconut milk has some acid in it, which will help to tenderize the meat, but also it adds fat to what could otherwise be very lean, kind of tough, dry meat. you want to use meats that are going to cook quickly, and that means meats that don't have a lot of natural fat on them. So you use coconut milk, it's going to add some fat to it. And then you, of course, want some aromatics in there, usually things like shallots, lemongrass, ginger, garlic. And in the true Indonesian satay realm, you want to add a good amount of turmeric, too. There's a lot of turmeric in there. And in Indonesia, Malaysia, they'll use fresh turmeric root. Technically, it's not a root. It's a rhizome, but that's another show. And you pound that up into a paste and you add it to your marinade. You could use powdered turmeric too. Turns out also that turmeric is like this super powerful wonder drug of a spice. Do you know about this? Turmeric has curcumin in it, which apparently is like the answer to every ailment. It kills tumors. It's an anti-inflammatory. It's good for blood sugar. It's like a miracle drug. So you try to incorporate more turmeric into your diet. I've decided I need to do that too. So this morning I had chopped up hard-boiled eggs on toast with avocado, and I put a little turmeric on top. It's delicious. Anyway, so get that in your marinade. And then, of course, peanut sauce is usually what's served with your satay. And you can make a pretty good basic peanut sauce with a little peanut butter and some coconut milk and fish sauce, lime juice. It's very easy. But if you don't like peanut sauce or you don't eat peanuts, tamarind-based sauces are really good too. If you want recipes, just you can send me a little note on the Why We Cook page on Facebook and I'll give you the recipes. And speaking of the Why We Cook Facebook page, I actually have included a link tonight of a satay-related comedy clip that I think is one of the funniest moments in modern television. It's a clip from Curb Your Enthusiasm. I don't know if you're a fan, but I am. Larry David is my hero. I think Larry David's like the funniest man to ever live. And you may know this clip. He's at a party with Ben Stiller. They both just got hired to be in the producers. And Larry's talking to a woman and he's eating a little skewered something. He calls it a kebab. And he's done with it and he doesn't know what to do with the skewer. And he goes off on this whole big long rant of what do you do with the skewer? Where are you supposed to put it? Do you put it in your pocket? It could injure you. All this stuff. And he's waving it around. And he winds up stabbing Ben Stiller in the eye with it. And it doesn't sound that funny, but you have to watch it. It's, I think, brilliant. Brilliant. But anyway, I was starting to write the show today and then I remembered this clip with Larry David. So luckily, thanks to YouTube, I found it. And it's linked on the Why We Cook fan page on Facebook, which you should of course go to and become a fan. So we're going to take another quick break and then we'll come back and we'll talk yakitori. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Bao Fresh Kombucha, New York City's locally brewed, organic, and best-tasting kombucha. Welcome back to Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, your host. If you enjoy listening to this show, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Look in the iTunes podcast under the food category and you can subscribe and then you never have to worry about missing another Why We Cook episode ever again. But you can always listen live on Tuesday nights and you can always listen archived on heritageradionetwork.com also. And of course, you can find me on Facebook. Just put in Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network on Facebook and there it is. There's the show and you can become a fan. Comments, questions, any of the above, I would love to hear from you. So tonight we've been talking about street food, specifically skewered bits of meat, kebabs, satays. So let's talk a little bit about yakitori. We don't have a ton of time left, but so the Japanese kind of version of the satay, the skewered meat, is something called yakitori. And yakitori tends to be chicken based. But it can be other things too. But usually little nuggets of chicken get skewered and dipped in a a glaze that's like a thick, sweet soy sauce kind of glaze. It's soy sauce and sugar and mirin, usually cornstarch, and then grilled. And it gets this nice, sweet glaze on it. And it's usually, you know, like I said, it's chicken-based. It can be pieces of chicken thigh, you know, good flavorful meat. But often it's other things. Like you can get yakitori of chicken skin, which is really good, delectable, little bits of skin. Or you can get yakitori of the little organs, like gizzards and livers and hearts all skewered up. And those are really great if you're not organ averse. You have to love the organ meats, but those are great. They get all crispy and caramelized when they're grilled. Mmm, delicious. And yakitori is often eaten not so much as a street food, but more as like a bar snack. So if you're out drinking a lot of beer, you can go to places that serve beer and yakitori skewers, and you eat the skewers, and they pile up on the table, and you get charged by how many skewers pile up on your table as the beers are being drained. And it's a pretty good combination, I must say. It's better than like peanuts or, well, I was going to say better than wings, but wings are really good. And basically, it's the Japanese version of chicken wings. But when I was in Japan a couple years ago, I saw these great machines that were automatic yakitori making machines. Because in Japan, of course, there's automatic machines for making almost everything that humans used to do. And so these are like, it's like the yakitori skewers get sort of like locked into this moving conveyor belt. And then they go through this whole process of being dipped in sauce. And then they're put under the broiler. And then they come back around and back into the sauce. And it's like, it looks like an amusement park ride for chicken skewers. It's like a roller coaster for chicken skewers. And if you go to like the food halls in Japan that are in the basements of the department stores, you can watch them. They have them, you know, a little stand, and it's actually kind of hypnotic and exciting to watch that. But those food halls in the department store basements are really food mecca. I mean, they're like, that's the place to go if you want to really experience Japanese food culture or Korean food culture too. When I was in Korea in January, I spent an inordinate amount of time walking around the basements in these food halls. I couldn't really get enough of it. So, but if you're going to do this on your own, if you're going to make your own satay or make your own yakitori, I just want to give you a couple little quick tips about grilling, because this show is why we cook, not why we wander around department store basements. If you're going to grill these probably, you know, on wood or on a gas grill or a charcoal grill, so there's going to be some flame involved, some heat. And if you're grilling these things and they're skewered on bamboo or on wood, that's a flammable material. So, of course, you'll soak the skewers first. That's always the first step, is to soak them for half an hour or so that they don't instantly burst into flames when you put them on the grill. But they will still turn into firewood, even with a good long soaking. So it just takes a little longer. So what you want to do is take a big long strip of aluminum foil, like as long as your grill is wide, and then about 6 inches wide. Fold the aluminum foil strip in half so it's doubled, or use heavy-duty aluminum, and then run that along the bottom edge of your grill. Then when you go to grill your skewers, put them on the grill so that the meat is on the grill, but the end of the meat is flush with the top of the foil, so that the wood runs along the foil and is protected from the grill, but the meat is actually touching the grill. That will keep your skewers from turning into kindling and bursting into flame before your protein is cooked. So there you go. Another tip from Chef Erica on why we cook. Anyway, we're out of time. So I was going to give you a bee update, but we'll get into it more next week. But I can say the bees are doing very well. They're just thriving, and I'm very happy. So we're out of time. Thank you for listening to Why We Cook, and I'll see you next week. Thanks to Nat and Jack in the control tower, and we'll talk to you later.